Speaking on this topic of prayer today, and it's from the same passage that I've spoken on the last two times, which is Matthew 6, 9 to 13, which is the Lord's Prayer. And as I was working through this, and as I was kind of looking through what this verse is, it starts with this really interesting thing, and it says, then this is how we should pray. Now, you are going to have your Bibles, so chuck up your hand if you don't have one. We've got some people down the back that will hustle one to you if you don't have one. But you will have to have your Bibles, because I would have it on the screen, but my PowerPoint isn't working. Who needs a Bible? We've got one up the front. All right. So this passage starts with this statement from Jesus. And it says, then this is how we should pray. Now what I was going to show you is this word that in Greek, which every time I say it with some accent, but it's pronounced prosukumai. And it's this word prayer. And this word prayer in the Greek is a really interesting one. It's the most commonly used one, but it's also very similar to the one that is used in Hebrew, palel. And prosukumai, when you kind of break it down, means to chit-chat, to have a conversation. And I was talking to Dave Tabram, funnily enough, during this week, and I was talking to him about this idea of conversation and prayer. And I was thinking, like, we come about prayer from this idea of going, we want to have a conversation with God. And then we go, well, what is conversation? And conversation is a process of opening up your heart and your mind and sharing what's inside with someone else. You can't do that if you don't know the person you're talking to. And so I suppose that's what we're talking about today, is dependence and understanding to the depths of how we can depend on the one we're talking to, if we're talking about prayer. And so prosukumai is this beautiful word, and it means, as I said, chit-chat. Now, then we flow into the Lord's Prayer. So I'll read it to you. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I've always liked this verse, but I've always had an issue with it. And I've kind of, as I've flowed through my life since a very young child, I've always known about God. I had two pretty incredible parents that, you know, shared about God to me at a very young age. So I've always known that God's existed. And that's not a problem. The problem is then going, who is this God? And I read this verse, and you hear it, and you see it in movies, and they do it, and Catholics, they say, you know, say your hallowed be thy names 13 times, and you'll be all good. And funnily enough, the last two times I've preached on this passage about how, as we flow through this passage, it's a kind of like a formula on how we talk to God. And where I kind of go, that is in a way correct, I've come to understand it's so much more. It's so much more than simply a formula. And I suppose that was always my issue when I talked about this, is that I've approached God with a formula in my life. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, so on and so forth. And it feels very stoic, it feels very structured, it feels very continual. I will continue on in this life going down a set path. But the funny thing is this world is always changing. I was thinking about what has happened in the last 6 months since I was last standing on the stage here at CBC. And there's so much. We've now got President Trump. We've had cyclones in New Zealand. We've had earthquakes. There's been a whole bunch of things happening. Social, economical, environmental, political, culturally. So many things have happened. So many things have happened here within CBC. And as I think about this, in this world that is ever changing, we as human beings have been designed and created to be humans that learn how to survive. We're really good at it. We figure out a way of how to survive in a situation, whether that be in pain or in happiness, and we figure out how to walk through this life to best defend ourselves. And so we figure out a way how to build up our walls and go about and walk this and traverse this life. But ultimately, we were never designed for that. We were designed to survive in dependence with God. And as I think about this, as this world is changing and we see the good, the bad, and the ugly in every situation and everyone, and as we're in this world which is not supposed to be what it is, but it is, there's hope in that. There's one hope in all of this, is that in amongst a world that is ever changing, we have a God that never changes. That we have a God that is the same at the beginning, that was the same yesterday, that is the same today, and will be the same tomorrow. And that's what I get excited about. And so when I originally started reading this as a young kid, this is how you should pray, it just didn't sit right. That this would just be a formula, or this would just be how we should talk to God in this way. And then when I read this word prashukamai, I go, that's why. Because prashukamai is a conversation, it's a chit-chat, it's a flow through with someone. And the only way to continue in conversation and to continue in a chit-chat with someone is to open ourselves up, to be vulnerable, to allow trust, to build relationship. And so I'm going to go through the verse, piece by piece. And in the same formula and how I went through it in the past, but then I want to kind of talk about it from a little bit of a different angle, about my story of how I went from what I originally spoke on to where I am today. So thank you, previous Andrew. Gosh. All right. Let's go. So then this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So the first bit there, pausing on that. God is called Father. So our Heavenly Father, the creator of the universe, in that moment, we see, as Christ is saying this to the apostles, he's saying you can and we can relate to God on a personal level as a father. Now, that's really, really important. And I'm going to go through this because we kind of start in the macro and we start in the universe, this creator, universal God we can come to as a father. The next bit, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now that speaks of plan, that speaks of movement. It is the desire for God's will to be done. And so the thing is that we're now in a place where we started over here where we go, this universal God is Father. This universal God who is Father has also got a plan for us in this world and this universe. And then it goes to the next level. It goes, give us today our daily bread. And so we go from macro, big God, Father, to personal plan for you, to then personal plan, Father God, creator of the universe, to I care about about the detail. I care about your daily life. I care about what you will eat, how you will eat, how you will survive as you walk this plan under the understanding that he is our Father. And so we have the big, the plan, and the daily life, and then we go and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And so this is a call to the Lord for forgiveness, which is personal and real. And so we start over here with big, great God who we can come to as Father. We move into this Father, creator of the universe, who saw us before the world began, has a plan for us. And then we go, he is intimately caring for our daily needs. And so we then go from our physical to actually our emotional side, where he's right there in amongst the pain and the anger as we are trying to forgive others and walk this world and traverse all the bad things. He's right there. In a relationship sense, we've gone from the plan to the universe to the daily to our physical to now our emotional side. And then we go one step further and we go, and And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And so we've gone this whole pathway, getting to a point in which we now stand right here with a God that we can trust with our plan, with the universe, with creation, with our daily needs, with our emotional, the turmoil that we go through, and learning how to forgive and learning how to be forgiven. And then we stand here and asking that we can trust God with the things that we're tempted with. And that when we do fall off the wagon and we're no longer walking down the path that he planned for us to do, that we can trust that he is going to be right there delivering us from the evil, delivering us and setting us back straight on the path. And so yes, this is a way in which we can come to the Father and understanding that he is our reverent God and that he has a plan for us and that we can pray for our physical needs and our emotional and our spiritual. But the thing is that as I look into this more and as I've walked through this life a little bit longer, it clicked to me that this is actually a picture of what relationship with God looks like. It's a picture of this, of how to depend on God. And the beautiful thing is that this passage doesn't leave anything out. Every aspect of our life is summed up in this prayer that Jesus gives to the disciples. And so I think when he uses this word prosukamai, it was with great intent that he used that word. Because I don't think he was physically going, this is what you should pray, but more so, this is how you should converse with your Heavenly Father. In this relationship, when we're trusting him with our physical, when we're trusting him with our path, when we're trusting him with our hearts and our emotions and our whole world. This wasn't my walk, though. I want to tell you a bit about my journey of how I got from there to here. Because the thing is for a huge part of my life, I have lived in a way where I have lived by a formula to pray instead by a relationship with the one I'm praying to. I moved up from the South Island around 6 years ago. The first year that I moved up here, I did an internship through Word of Life. I studied at Pathways Bible College and really loved it. I probably have a little bit of my dad's genes. Well, of course I do. But take a glass of water. Hold on. And my dad loves information. He loves study. He's a teacher, ironically. And so I thoroughly enjoyed my time learning at Pathways Bible College. So much so that at the end of the year, I wanted to continue on my study. And so I ended up moving from Word of Life to here at CBC. And over about 2.5 years, I worked here at CBC as an intern, studying at Carey Baptist College, doing my Bachelor in Theology, and then ultimately coming on as a volunteer staff member here. But something was missing. Something quite big that I was trying to attain through it all. And it's ironic that I couldn't attain it in the church, ironically. But it was this emptiness that I still had, which I kind of, as I look back, I went through a bit of a cycle. That every couple of months, I needed to take something more on within my life. Whether that be leading, coordinating at church and being here at 6 o'clock in the morning or whenever it was that we were starting and being the last one to leave and packing all the chairs up and stacking them down and then coming back at night and cleaning the church. And I was like, okay, that's not enough. So we're gonna preach. I'm going to preach more at church. And then I'm going to preach more at Checkpoint and I'm going to lead at Checkpoint. And then we've got a little prayer group, so I'm going to do that. And then I'm going to try and make lots of friends over this side and help them know Jesus. And I went through this process of needing more and more and more. I was studying all at the same time, and I ended up getting to a point in which it all failed me. I'd been for so long trying to live in this world by formula, doing more to get to God, doing more to find my worth to God, creating my worth to God. That ultimately, what was failing is that I hadn't realized just how precious and how worthy I was to God, that how God sees me in all this. And this all came crumbling down at the end of the year, kind of towards the end of my last year working here at CBC, through a whole bunch of different things, relationship breakdown, not knowing where I was going, what I was doing. I ended up, after over 3.5 years working within ministry and studying and doing my diploma and all of these things, ended up working in a factory. And I remember one night I got home, it was after my first shift, and I ended up just falling on my knees in my room and crying. And I ended up bawling my eyes out going like, why God? Why have you brought me all the way from Dunedin to Hamilton with this great purpose that I thought I had for my life, that I was going to be a pastor and I was going to be working in ministry and do all these things, and now I'm doing something which is completely opposite to that? And I remember in that same time conversing with Dave, he said something to me which started a process within my heart. And it was this thing where he said, you need to stop doing for God and start being with God. And it's a slight change in mentality, it's a slight change in focus, but it makes all the difference. And so when I look at this, when I read this verse, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. As I look at that verse now, that verse is a statement of where my heart wants to get to with God, not of the process of what I need to be doing to make myself right with God. I remember for the first month whilst I was working in this factory, everything inside me from what I had learned and what I had known about what I should be doing was, you should be praying to God. You know, you're in this random place that you don't know, you're using muscles even though you've worked in an office. You're loading machines with plastic and ink, and you're around fumes, and it's loud, and you've got earplugs in and headphones in, and I'm quite a chatty person. There was no conversation with anybody. You couldn't. And so I was going through, and I was like, why, God, have you got me here? And after a month, I realized that even though everything inside me was telling me to pray to God, there was this huge aspect within me that I mistrusted God so much that I couldn't bring myself to pray. And as I started to ask the question, why am I here, and having a little Andrew South pity party, probably a little bit like Jonah under his little palm tree, it clicked. It clicked that for so long I had tried to do something. I had tried to live in this potential that I have and create it in my own way instead of doing the one thing that God has called us to live within, is live within his joy and be dependent on him. And so I started a process where instead of praying through what I wanted to do and where I wanted to go and all of the things in my life, of just simply stopping and learning to have a conversation with God. And it started with a sentence here and a sentence there and a little bit over here, but during this process I learnt that it's not about the knowledge of God that I've gained, but it's the knowledge of what God thinks of me. There's quite a cool analogy that I think of when I go through this. If Prushikamai is conversation with God, it's two-way. It's one being vulnerable with the other. It's trust and relationship flowing either way. But to build trust with God is first understanding that we can only do that when we understand how much how precious we are to him, essentially. And the analogy that I came with is this idea of gold. And gold is a pretty remarkable metal. It's one of the only metals, and I think this is why in the Bible it's used so much about refining fire, you know, gold and silver, is because gold is this incredible material that no matter what you do to it, no matter what you mix it with, no matter what alloys you create it into, no matter what you do to it, at the end of the day, you can still heat it up, refine it, and bring it back to its original. And that was part of my journey, is understanding that no matter what my life has been, no matter what I've done, the good, the bad, and the ugly, no matter the crud that I've walked through, no matter the pain that has been piled on my shoulders during this whole thing of me trying to gain my worthiness to God, the reality is no matter what happened, my worthiness never changed. My worth to God never changed. And that's the same for all of us. We're born into this world with a God that cares for us so intimately. That his desire for us is to be in a personal, intimate relationship with us. Where prosukamai, which is conversation, isn't a formula for our life, but is actually a process for us understanding ourselves and what that is in relation to God. And so when we look at this world and we look at how crazy this world is and all the things that are happening, the pain, the anger from every single one of us, we can have hope in the fact that our God is the same yesterday as he is today, as he will be tomorrow. For the fact is that he is going to continuously be pursuing our hearts and taking us to our potential. Not because of what we do, not because of what I do over here trying to be the good little protege pastor, but because to him, I am seen like gold because of Christ. There is nothing I can do to change that. There is nothing that I can do to enhance that or decrease it, because it can't be increased. It's infinite. A couple of years ago, over the last 3 years, I've preached on this, as I said, 2 times. It's been a process from there to here now, where I can kind of stand here and say that there's been a lot of pain during this process. It hasn't been easy. But understanding the depths of how much he cares for me and how much and how precious I am to God has made every little part of it worth it. Because it's been a process. And as I look back, and as we can look back in our lives, we can see that God was there in all of it. That he was weaving his good into our life. And so as we think about dependence, and next week Jeremy's going to be up here with a group, and they're going to be talking about what does conversation with God look like. My challenge simply for you today is think about your path. Think about the journey that has been your life. The pain, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And realize one thing. God was pursuing us in all of that. His heart was to take us into our potential. For us to realize that he is our Father. Our Heavenly Father. That he has a plan for us. That even when we step off, he's right there with his arms ready to take us back on. He's right there no matter which way we go. He's always there. He is a God that in that plan and in that process, he cares for our needs on a practical, physical level. Our daily bread, he's there. He wants to give us everything to be able to succeed in the plan that he has set out for us. He wants to show us how in a world of pain and anger, how to, by his example of forgiveness, how we can not only forgive others, accept the forgiveness from him, but learn in a lot of ways to forgive God and build deeper trust with him. And that when we have walked off the path and we've been tempted like we often do, and we've fallen down a track which seems impossible to get back from, is that he's right there to help us in our temptation and to lead us from evil back on the path. Because the reason why is because there's something special about us. And the thing that's really special is it's because we're created in his image. Before the world began, we were on his mind. And the thing is that he had intent purpose of us being right here in New Zealand on this planet. And the purpose for that was for us to live whatever this life might throw at us, to live in dependence of him. And that is where we find our joy. That is where we find our direction. And that is where, when our worlds come crumbling down and we find ourselves on our knees asking why, we can learn to pick ourselves back up, because he told us we were precious. He told us we were special. He told us that through Christ we are worthy. That is all I have for you today. I just want to pray, and I suppose right now, if you want to pray and or have a bit of a conversation with God, I encourage you to do that. I'm going to pray, and I just want to take us a couple of moments, and I just hope, like me in a way, that we're able to strip away some of the formula to our lives and start living in intimacy with the Father, because that's where he wants us to be. Father God, you're pretty cool. You're pretty amazing. Father, I love that no matter where we go, no matter where we end up, you are right there with us. That as you say, you will never leave us nor forsake us. Oh, I'm just so overwhelmed by the fact that no matter where we go, your thoughts for us, your love and care for us will never change. Father, I pray that as a family, we can be open, our eyes can be open to the areas in which, in a lot of ways, we mistrust you, and that you can just gently take us deeper into a relationship with you where we can learn to be dependent in all these areas of our lives. Father, it is only through you that we can be led to learn to converse with you, to chit-chat with you. In the daily and in the moments and the conversations that we go through, Lord, in this path that we work, that we walk in this life, Father, I just thank you that you are right there. I just thank you that we were created in your image, that your desire is for relationship. Your desire is that we can be with you in all things. And that in that, it's not stoic, it's not anger, it's joy, it's pure joy to be in love with you, Lord, and to feel that love from you. Father, just help us to converse with you better and deeper.